Have you heard the expression, if you see something, say something? Probably so. And that is a good expression that we can teach our kids. Why does it matter so much? And then how do we actually do that in practical ways? Stay tuned. We're going to talk about that today.
If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, to also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the Raising Kids episode for the Life's Key 3 podcast. You know, I have shelves filled with children's books, and there's nonfiction books about animals and about science. There's biographies. And of course, there's a wide range of books that we would consider fiction. And I love being able to read those when my kids were growing up and now with grandkids. But I wish more than I could read that I could tell my grandkids that this is the world that they're going to grow up in. These fairy tale, make-believe, wrap everything up with a pretty bow. It all makes sense. They're always going to be able to be safe or to come out of danger okay. I wish that's the world that they were growing up in, but it's not. So how, as parents, do we prepare our children for the world in which we live and not the world in which we wish they lived? Well, Nehemiah chapter 5, interestingly, has some things in there that we can use to apply to our parent, to ourselves as parents, as we are raising aware kids, but not to the point that they are paranoid kids. You know, what we see in Nehemiah chapter 5 is the reality that it's not just always people out there, people who don't look like us, believe like us, who aren't part of our family, that are the dangers. People can be unsafe. People can be manipulative, abusive, can have betray us, can have injustice going on in our own communities, in our own families, in our own organizations. And we have to be able to prepare our kids for facing that. Again, we want them to be aware, but we don't want them to be paranoid. And that's part of the tension of raising kids, as part of the tension of life, because all of life is lived in tension. It's not just between what is right and wrong, good or bad. It's a matter that there are always two truths. They don't contradict each other, but what they do is they balance each other. They hold this like tension between the two of them. If you think in terms of a tightrope, you have two anchors on either end of that tightrope. And it is both of those anchors that allows a person to traverse that tightrope in safety. If you weaken or you take out one of those anchors, you're going to have a swinging rope, but you're not going to have a way for a person to safely walk across to another side. And life is like that. And the reality is that we want our kids to grow up and to feel that the world is safe enough, but we also have to make them aware that the world is not safe enough. It is safe enough so that we go out and engage in the world and we don't hole up like hermits. But at the same time, it's also unsafe, and we have to be prepared for that reality as well. So how do we actually do that? Well, one of the ways that we do that, we see in Nehemiah chapter 5, and that is that we speak up when we see abuse, betrayal, manipulation, or injustice happening. And we have to be able to make our kids aware that that's part of their responsibility in life. It's not an option that they have. Here's a key principle that you can use for this. The more engagement your kids have with others when you are not present, the more awareness of the unsafe parts of the world that you build. If you have a two-year-old who is always with you or only with people that you absolutely know are entirely safe individuals, then your need to build awareness in them that the world is not a safe place is very, very small. But as your kids get older and they are in more situations, they are in more relationships where they are not with you, or they are absolutely not with people that you know that you know that you know that you know that you can trust. And this is not because of the position that a person holds. It is because of you, how well you know this individual. Then the more you need to build in them the awareness that the world is not safe, that there are things that they must be on the lookout for, not just external enemies, but people in their own communities, people in their own churches, people in their schools, and yes, it can even be people within the family, people on their sports teams, people in the activities that they are a part of. You know, years ago, when my kids were younger, I was living in a different state. And my couple of my oldest boys were old enough at that point that they did not want to have to go into the women's bathroom to use the bathroom. My younger kids were still so young, they didn't care. I mean, they didn't even have, I mean, yes, they knew the difference between, okay, there's men and there's women, but they weren't old enough to even care that they went into the women's bathroom with mom to go use the bathroom. But my older sons, you know, that was mortifying to them to have to go into the bathroom with mom to go use the bathroom. Well, I made them go in always with at least two of them together. And even that annoyed them. And what really irritated them was when I explained to them a true story that had happened recently in our area. And it was a tragic story of a boy who went into a public bathroom. He was a preteen. He was definitely old enough to be able to go in and use the bathroom by himself. He wasn't three. And he went into this bathroom, and it wasn't an upscale shopping center. This wasn't like in some little gas station bathroom in some terrible part of town. This was an upscale mall. And he goes into the bathroom there, and there's a group of young teens. Okay, they're not old teens. They're not adults. They're just a group of just young teens. And they killed him just for fun. And I told my kids that story. I did not go into the gruesome details of how it had occurred. And they were so mad at me for telling them that story. But here's the position I was in. I would rather that they were mad at me for knowing that that could happen to a person, because I knew that I was building them in them an awareness I didn't want to have to build. I would rather have been able to have lived in a way where those kinds of things didn't happen, or I didn't have to think about those things. But again, this is something that happened in that area in fairly recent time period. And I had to face the reality of the way that life is, not how I wanted it to be. And so when they would get mad at me because they had to go in, at least two of them together, to use the bathroom, if they wanted to go in and use the men's room, then I was like, okay, but here's why you have to do that. And I didn't tell them that story, you know, all the time. It certainly wasn't like a story I told them at bedtime. But when they wanted to know why they couldn't just go into the bathroom by themselves, I explained, okay, here's why. Because here's the reality that you have to be prepared for. And sadly, there are other stories that I could recount of things that have happened to young men that have just gone in to use a bathroom at a theme park, at an amusement park, in some sort of public store, because predators know where to hang out. And not just predators who are going about looking for someone, but even like that had happened in the example of this young man, a group of kids that certainly had some significant issues and just took it out on this young man. And we have to face the reality that that's the society in which we live today, in which our kids live. So the more that our kids have their independence, the more that we have the responsibility as parents to make them aware of the reality of the world in which they live. Now, I did not tell my kids, sorry, you're going to have to go in and use the women's bathroom with me until you're, 18 years of age. I mean, I did let them go in and use the men's bathroom, but I also provided a safety measure because both of them had to go in at the same time and wait until both of them were finished, or even if one didn't have to use the bathroom, well, they at least had to just go in there and be present. Did that guarantee that nothing could ever happen? No, there was still a risk. But it lessened the likelihood that one of or both of them could be hurt. One of the things, another practice that we need to put into place here for this, to teach our kids how to live safely and smartly in the world in which we live, is we have to learn to be a good listener. And that means about all kinds of things, not just when it comes to issues of safety. And being a good listener is what is determined by your kid, not by you. Do you know anybody who thinks that they're a great listener and you're thinking, oh my gosh, that's not what I think, right? Well, we can think we're being great listeners to our kids, but it's up to our kids to decide, do I really feel like I can come and I can make comments, that I can say things, that I can bring things to mom and dad? And this doesn't start when they get to be 10. It starts when they're 2 or 3, and they want to come tell you for the 314th time about the amazing butterfly that they are watching outside. And, right? I mean, like, because they're mesmerized by it for, forever. And they want to tell you about it, it seems like, forever. And you're kind of done with it about 3 times in. Our listening begins with those types of things, and it begins to build this trust with our kids that they can come and talk to us about things. If they can't come and talk to you about just the ordinary kind of stuff in life and stuff that frankly might be boring to you, but it's fascinating to them, don't expect that they're going to hit some magical age or situation where they're going to be wanting to come and talk to you about far more serious things. A third practice that we can have for our kids is we need to be intentional to teach them to signs to look out for. We don't want to make the mistake of thinking that, well, there's just a certain level of common sense or understanding that they're just going to somehow develop. We have to be intentional to talk to them and to teach them signs to look out for. And this isn't just for adults. This can also be for other kids, their own age, younger, or especially older. The stories of children who are preyed upon by other children, even friends of siblings, is a whole lot more than what we often hear about. We have to be thoughtful and mindful and aware of all of the potential harm that can come, not just for so-called predator adults. Here are some practical things that you can talk to your kids about. Number one is pay attention to how their gut feels. That's right. Now that might sound like, what? Yes. Teach them to pay attention to what their gut feels. It is fascinating that there is a physiological connection between the gut and our brain that we usually don't hear and we're not taught about. Our gut isn't just a food processing factory. It's much more than that. And there is this physical, mysterious connection between our gut and our brain where our gut can literally send signals to our brain that says something's off. Something doesn't feel right. And it's not just, because I had too much pizza the night before. It's a sense of something external. It's a sense about another person. When we use comments, we say, well, I don't know, I just kind of have this feeling in my gut. There's a physiological reason for that because there is this wiring that occurs between our gut and our brain, and we need to pay attention to that. We need to teach our kids, pay attention to what your gut tells you. If you just have a sense that something's weird, something doesn't feel right. Something feels off. That just seemed or felt or sounded a little strange. Pay attention to it. Don't just write it off. Kids are notorious for going to one extreme or the other. They either want to exaggerate and dramatize and make mountains out of molehills, or they go to the other extreme and they just talk themselves out of things. They make molehills out of mountains. And we want to avoid both of those extremes. But I would rather that we dealt with a kid who veered off more in the first category, even if it took that, so that they don't go veering off in the second category of ignoring what their gut tells them. The other things that we can teach them to look for is someone else wanting to spend a lot of alone time with them, or maybe it's not them, maybe it's somebody else, another child that they're just kind of observing. It's a sibling, it's a friend. It might just not even be that. It might just be, you know, a classmate at school. And it's like, you know, it seems to me that that person is with that kid a lot. It doesn't mean that it always has to be a long periods of time. It can be long periods of time, or it can just be a short periods of time, but there's a lot of frequency for that. That's a sign to be able to look out for. Another sign is someone regularly giving them, or this other people, not everyone, but where it seems like there's a singular person, a lot of compliments, especially personal ones, ones about how you look, ones about how you are, about your personality, or this or that or the other. Again, we don't want to make them paranoid that if a teacher or a coach says, hey, that was a great job, or someone says, oh, hey, you know, that haircut looks really great. We don't want them, you know, running home paranoid that that person is a predator. But we do want them to look for patterns and to see, okay, how does this person engage with others? And over here, it seems like they're different when it comes to me, or they're different when it comes to this other person. The opposite of that is also a sign. Is someone making threats, even if it comes packaged as fun or joking or sarcasm? Remember here, we're not just talking about adults. We're talking about other kids being in this category as well. And then we have the ones that are more obvious. Is someone touching, hugging, holding them? Do they stand? Do they sit close? Do they seem to be watching them a lot? And another practice that we can tell them to be mindful of is, does someone ask a lot of personal questions? And again, that doesn't mean that like they sit down and interrogate you, but it might just be over a period of time. Do they ask personal questions about their parents, their home life, their schedule, their siblings, their interests? I mean, just kind of a lot of personal kind of questions. And again, it seems like this isn't something that this person is doing in a public way. This isn't the teacher who's standing in front of a classroom who's trying to build a bond and relationship with their students that's asking appropriate questions, but also sharing out of that. It's more on that one-on-one, kind of level. This isn't all the signs that we need to teach our kids to look out for, but here's a place to start. The most important thing is to recognize that our responsibility as parents is to be able to say, you know, yes, there are, quote, enemies out there, just like Nehemiah had. He had very real enemies out there that was totally opposed to the rebuilding of the wall. But there were also in-house issues. There were things going on among the Jewish leaders and nobles and officials and the people that needed to be set right. And we don't want to do such a job of focusing our kids on their, quote, enemies out there, even spiritually, that we neglect to also teach them that you have to pay attention to what's going on in-house. That means in your own home, in your own extended family, and it means in the communities that they are a part of, their church, their schools, sports teams, clubs that they're a part of, jobs that they hold as they are older. And again, as they get older, as they get more independent and they are with you less and they are around other people more, and especially people that you don't know that you know that you know that you know that they're safe with, then you have to be intentional to, unfortunately, teach them about the people, and that there are people in this world who are not safe, who will manipulate, abuse, betray them. And that's not just always sexually or physically, but that can happen in other areas as well. That can be emotionally, that can be financially. And so you also have all of those realms to look at, not just the ones that we typically think of when it comes to abuse or betrayal. All right. Well, that's not like a real rah, rah, rah episode in the sense of, oh, that's a great part of parenting that we really want to deal with. But again, our focus here is to build kids who are spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart. And that means engaging with the world as it is, not how we wish it was. Hey, I'm going to ask you to do two things. If you haven't already, make sure to sign up for High Impact as a weekly newsletter. You can do that on my website, stephanieprisons.com. And secondly, would you share this podcast with two friends? Maybe they listen to podcasts, maybe they don't. Doesn't matter, either one. Just share two friends. I bet you've got two friends that you know who are parents, who are caregivers, and you can say, hey, here's something you can listen to. You can listen to both the Tuesday and Thursday episodes, but definitely the Thursday episodes that focus on helping parents in this area. Remember this, my friend, you have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.